الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى has given us many gifts. And in order to avail ourselves of those gifts and to take advantage of those gifts, we have to appreciate and hold those gifts dear to our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many gifts. And in order to take maximum benefit from those gifts, we have to hold those dear to our heart. Just as an example, and I mean this is a little bit of a different example, but just to give you something to relate to. If somebody gives you a gift, and you see like now, you know, we just passed the holiday of gift giving. So it's a holiday here and people were giving gifts. So when someone gives a gift, if they truly, care about the response of the individual to that gift, then when somebody gives a gift, they like to see that the person receiving the gift is happy. It's really important to the person who gives a gift that, like, what did you think about my gift? For example, I give Bakr a gift. So it's not just that I give Bakr a gift, but just as important as giving the gift, I want to know what did Bakr think about my gift. That's really important to me. And if the purpose of the gift was to express love or to show love or to create a connection, then it even becomes more important to me that what did this individual do with the gift or what did they think about the gift. So if I give somebody a gift and then I go to the store and I see that they're in line, you know, when I get to the store, I see them in line with my box and they're like ready to return it, then I feel hurt. And instead of creating a connection, it breaks the connection. It actually has the opposite effect. I gave somebody a gift and I go to the person's home and, you know, I see it like, you know, thrown in the side somewhere where nobody cares about it, then I might be a little hurt by that. But if I give somebody a gift and I see that, you know, I gave them a sweater and they wear the sweater every day, I'm like, wow, you know, they really, really like that sweater. They wore it every single day. It has a total different effect on the transaction. It has a huge difference on the transaction. Now, I mean, that's just a simplistic example, and it's not even relative because we're talking about the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. But what I can say is that, you know, sometimes you go through deen and you read through hadith and you read through basic actions of mashayikh and principles in our deen. And what you come to realize is that sometimes deen is as simple as just accepting and appreciating the gift. Sometimes deen is as simple as just accepting and appreciating the gift. For example, just very simplistically, and you could look at this in so many different angles, but just as one example. You know, there's various ahadith that talk about acts of ibadah and talk about the benefits of the act of ibadah, right? So, for example, you know, whoever does such and such and so act of ibadah in a state of iman and with, you know, with hope, they receive A, B, and C, right? So this is something that's possible. Somebody does a certain act of worship, let's say, whoever stands a night in prayer, or whoever stands in Ramadan in prayer, hoping and they receive X reward. So in those circumstances, and all of those circumstances in hadith, what really is happening in those exchanges, it's never that the person has to maximize on the salah, right? So for example, let's say there's an act of worship that's associated to a particular reward in those types of hadith. So that particular act of worship, it's never the contingency for reward is never on perfection of the act. It doesn't say that whoever produces a perfect salah will get that. Whoever produces a perfect fast will get that. Right? In a subset of hadith. But instead, it just requires that the person have iman and hope. So basically what? The person accepts and understands that this has been given a gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the person accepts the gift and hopes in the gift, Allah will give the reward. Because none of us are perfect. We're not going to be able to produce anything that would be worthy of being presented to Allah. Allah is perfect. What do we have to offer to a perfect Lord? What do a bunch of imperfect, weak human beings who were created by the Lord to begin with have to offer to the perfect Lord? It's not. There is no equation that fits into that scenario. There is no way that those two sides of the equation can ever compute or balance out. But what is our responsibility, or what is the means by which we maximize on those circumstances, is that we appreciate the gift and we make the best effort and we hold it dear to our heart. So it's the month of Ramadan. I appreciate the gift of Ramadan. I appreciate the gift of fasting. I know that I'm not able to fast the way that fasting should be. I mean, with a complete cutting off of everything of the world except Allah. That type of fast I may not be able to achieve. But I hold it dear to my heart. I look forward to it. I wait till it's given to me. And when it's given to me, I'm excited and I reciprocate and I show that I've been given this gift. And so I partake in the fasting. I wake up when I can. I go to, you know, I do as much as I can to maintain that fast. And then I close that fast at the end of the day, looking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for His reward. In essence, what have I done? I'm not standing there and raising my hand and saying, I perfected this responsibility that you placed on my shoulder, so now give me what's due. That's not the equation there. The equation is, I wasn't able to do the way, I wasn't able to perform this the way that it was supposed to, but I held it dear to my heart. You gave it to me. Ya Allah, you gave this opportunity to me, and I'm doing what I can, not hoping in myself, but hoping in you. That because you gave me this gift, that I have some connection with you, and therefore I will receive your reward. That applies to acts of ibadah. But even on a step back, right, so that can apply to salah. It can apply to sawm. It applies to hajj. You know, so many rewards associated with hajj. And who goes and performs a perfect hajj? Everybody's struggling in the hajj. But even if you take a step back from the acts of ibadah, it actually applies to the deen wholly, like completely, fully. It applies to the deen itself. Like we know that from hadith we've heard that whoever says la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Whoever says la ilaha illallah, they enter into Jannah. Now, I mean, how does that equate? That you just say la ilaha illallah and you get into Jannah. But really what's being said there is, whoever says la ilaha illallah and appreciates what they've been given. Nani, they appreciate it. They hold it dear to them. They accept that gift and they recognize that gift and they want to reciprocate that gift and they hold it dear to their heart. That's sufficient enough to eventually get that person into Jannah. That in and of itself is sufficient enough to get that person into Jannah. So we as Muslims, I mean, yes, you know, there's different layers of our deen, but one of the entry level layer is to be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah, or giving us the gift of Islam, giving us the gift of Tawheed, giving us the gift of Shahada, and giving us the gift of salah, sawm, zakah, and hajj. And to reciprocate, to hold it dear to our heart. So what does that mean? And we should be thankful for it. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. So many, in this day and age, people are ashamed of these things. They're hiding from these things. They're worried about these things. They wonder about these things. But it should be the opposite. We should be so thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the wealth of deen. Look, in this world, there's two types of wealth. In this world, there's two types of wealth. Everybody comes empty-handed. Everybody comes empty-handed. And then, when they attain a certain age, they're able to collect and earn wealth. And there's two types of wealth. You can collect the physical wealth of this world, which is dollars and gold and houses and cars, and clothing. So that's the physical wealth of this world. And that is a tangible wealth that people can compute and add up and put finite numbers on. That's understood. And there's another type of wealth. And that's the spiritual wealth that a person collects. The good deeds, the dhikr, the interaction with Quran, the time in the masjid, etc. That's the second type of wealth. When a person goes to the grave, they leave behind all of the first type of wealth. They came naked, they go back naked. They go back empty-handed. Nothing. Just a cloth around their body. Nothing else with them. And whatever they manage to capture from the physical wealth of this world, it does them no good in the grave. Person, just because they have six air conditioners in their house in this life, they cannot take any one of those air conditioners to the grave. Person can have food from all over the world available to them every day, and they cannot take any of that food to the grave. Whatever wealth a person's able to attain in this world, it doesn't matter, they cannot take it to the grave. But the wealth of deen will be with them forever. That actually is the permanent wealth. That's the wealth that actually has meaning. It brings joy to the sensible one in this life, and it begins the journey of eternal bliss for the person who goes into their grave. Now, look, in this world, the funny thing is, there's deen and there's dunya, and the dunya is so, it's got flashing lights. You know, sometimes they show you these places in the world where people go and there's 24-hour noise all the time. So many billboards, so many flashing lights. All the billboards, all the flashing lights, all the glitter, all the glamour is here in the dunya. And then there's like this one side, this is like the deen. You know, to the average person who's not able to perceive properly, it looks dull and muted and even possibly diminished. So how would we know that we're not supposed to turn towards the flashing lights and we're supposed to turn towards this? How would we have figured it out? Which person in this room has enough intellect that they would have been able to figure out that all this glitter and glamour, this is all nothing, and that this dull, muted issue here sitting in the corner, which appears to be so suppressed in this day and age, this is where it's at? We wouldn't have known that. We would have never known that, except that Allah gave us a gift. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us this gift that the sensibility to perceive that which is real versus that which is fake was given to us. We have that sense that we can see. And that we can actually, even though there's so much glitter and glamour, we can actually look at that and say, but that's just fake glitter and glamour. And we can look over here and we can say, oh, now that I can perceive, this is where peace actually lies. This is where success actually lies. This is actually what truly is sparkling. But it was just hidden. But now I can see that this is actually the diamond in the rough and that all of this was just fake. But where did we get that from? How did we come to that? There's no person in their intellect that comes to that point. We came to that point because we were given the gift. We were given the gift of deen. We were given the gift of sunnah. We were given the gift of scholarship. We were given the gift of people of piety having some sort of concern or tawajjuh upon us. That's how we received that. Only through Allah's mercy, not through any effort of anybody in this room. Nobody in this room made some special effort in the womb or made some special dua in the womb that when I come out, make me sensible. That was Allah's gift upon us. So at the least, if we're not able to fulfill the mandates that as they've been gifted, at the least we should be thankful for them. At the least we should be thankful for them. If a person, there's a big difference between a person who doesn't pray and says, well, I don't want to pray, and another person who doesn't pray and says, I wish I prayed. Look, there's two individuals. One individual doesn't pray and he says, I don't want to pray, I don't need to pray. And there's another individual who doesn't pray but says, I wish I could pray. I see the beauty in this. The person who at least has the attitude that there's some beauty in it will eventually begin to pray. The other person will never pray. Why would the other person ever have any sense to pray? They already don't see any beauty in it. So regardless of our inability to act, our inability to sustain ourselves, at least we have the sense to recognize that this is where we should aim our compass. that this is a GPS and that this is where you need to make a right and this is where you need to make a left. And this is where I should be going at the time of Isha. This is where I should be going at the time of Fajr. This is the direction in which I should drive my life. Even if it's not, even if we don't achieve the goal, at least we have a sense of where to go. And the mere having a sense of where to go often is sufficient enough for Allah to give the complete reward. So many circumstances, you'll read through hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a full reward merely for the person just having respect for that aspect of deen. Just a person says, I mean, look, you know, and I know, that whoever says la ilaha illallah, they bind themselves to a series of actions. They bind themselves to salah, sawm, zakah, hajj, avoidance of haram, enjoining halal, acting upon halal. All of these things, they come under that rubric of la ilaha illallah. But this statement, man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah, whoever says la ilaha illallah, they enter into jannah, it's very general. It doesn't put the preconditions of all those things underneath. In fact, when this statement was made to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, he was afraid of sharing it with other people because he didn't want that their deeds decrease in the context of that statement. So, it just goes to show you the power of that statement. Which basically, really what it's saying is whoever appreciates the fact that Allah is one, that's sufficient for them to get into Jannah. Meaning, really what was required, meaning one of the key components of that transaction was to just merely appreciate that Allah gave me this gift of Shahada and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that I came to the sense that Allah brought me to the sense that He is one. So, we should be always cognizant of what deen itself is. And then, if we don't reach it, we don't reach it, but we still appreciate it. We don't feel salah is a burden on us. Salah is a gift to us. If I'm not able to meet that responsibility, that's my weakness, and I accept that. But salah is always a gift, it's never a burden. Wudu is always a gift, it's never a burden. Ghusl is always a gift, it's never a burden. Fasting in Ramadan is a gift, it's not something to be afraid of. It's not a burden. Even if it comes in the summer months and we're not able to do, you know, we do the best we can and we're not able to, you know, have the same amount of energy that we perhaps should, it's still a gift. And the mere acceptance of it as a gift leads to so much benefit and so much effect that sometimes that even suffices the deed. Not that the deed gets, not that the person gets absolved from the deed. The necessity of the deed will always remain. But sometimes just the mere understanding and appreciation of deen, that this is something special and has been given to me, that sometimes leads to a big reward. And hadith established that in so many examples. So we should be proud of the fact that Allah has guided us to this. We should never be ashamed of it. Yeah, I know, in this day and age, you know, you worry sometimes. You wonder sometimes. It's not so easy to carry deen. Just like the hadith told us that there will come a time when people will carry sunnah. It's like it will be the people who carry sunnah will be like the people who carry hot coals. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be the easiest thing. But we still appreciate that as a gift. If something is in the sunnah and we're not able to achieve it, we still appreciate that as a gift for what it was, and we don't denigrate the sunnah in order to make ourselves comfortable. For example, I'm not able to do something in the sunnah. That doesn't mean that it's not sunnah. That means that I'm not able to act upon the sunnah. So I appreciate the gift of the sunnah, and I recognize my weakness and my inability to act upon that, but I still appreciate the gift of the sunnah. That's part of appreciating the gift of the sunnah, to recognize what it is and to accept it for what it was. You can't, you know, change it around. That doesn't show the value of the gift. So we should not be trying to return the gift. We should be not trying to exchange the gift. We should not even be trying to hide the gift. We should be proud of the gift. We should be thankful and appreciative that out of all of humanity, when it came to true wealth, when it came to true assets, when it came to that which mattered, for some odd reason, which totally doesn't make any sense to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us and gave us this beautiful gift. People look at billionaires, they say, oh, he's so lucky. He has $2 billion. He had $3 billion. Imagine he could go buy anything. He wouldn't even know how to, he wouldn't be able to spend all the money. There's not enough things to buy on the planet. But what? What is that? we're actually more wealthy than that. We're more wealthy than that. We've been given that wealth, which actually means something, because we can buy all, we can buy multiples of what that, what dollars can buy. Look, if a person even has $1 billion, how limited that money is. First of all, they don't start with $1 billion when they're 1 year old. They make $1 billion when they're 30, let's say. So now the guy has 30 billion, he's 30 years old and he has $1 billion. So how long will he be able to enjoy $1 billion? Maybe 10 years, maybe 20, maybe 30, maybe 40. Eventually you get sick. All human beings get sick. Eventually you get bored. All human beings get bored. And that $1 billion always brings $1 billion headaches with it. $1 billion always brings $1 billion headaches with it. So now you're on this drug and that drug and this problem and that problem. So what did the person gain? It just looks like it from the outside because it sparkles and shines and appears to be something, but it's nothing. It's empty. It's just like a house of cards. You just press it and the whole thing collapses. And then on the other hand, you have actual true wealth. Salah and all of the associated benefits that arise from it. Wudu and all the associated benefits that arise from it. Ramadan and fasting in Ramadan. Hajj and all of the benefits associated with it. The ability to recite Quran, to care about Quran, to think about Quran, to hear Quran, to appreciate Quran, to be enlivened by Quran. That's the wealth. That's actually wealth. And the beauty of that wealth is that the day you obtain it, it always grows. From the day you obtain it, it always gets better. The person who is actually involved in acts of ibadah, every step they come closer to the grave, the more they enjoy it. The more they begin to think that this is coming to me soon. If they get sick, they get more excited that I'm actually getting closer to receiving my reward in my grave. It's a totally different type of wealth. It brings peace in this life. It brings true happiness. It brings contentment in this world. And it totally brings ultimate reward in the hereafter. Because anything that was present in this world will be available with that wealth in the hereafter. What will a person buy with wealth? Nice clothing? These are not even clothes. These are just mimics of what the clothing should be in Jannah. What will they buy? Buy nice food? This is not even food. Anything that tastes good here is just a mere fraction of what will actually taste good there. What will they buy? A home? There's no home here. There's no permanent abode. Nor is there any home that a person can make that would be anything like what's going to happen in Jannah. What will they buy? Companionship? There's no companionship here. People are always competing. People are always clashing. People are always arguing. That's life. It's two people. They're human beings. Human beings are always going to collide. But look at the companionship in Jannah. They'll be able to sit, people of ibadah and piety and wealth will be able to sit with Sahaba, might be able to sit with prophets. They might even be able to see Rasulullah. How can you compare that companionship with any companionship in this life? There is nothing that the wealth of this world can buy that the wealth of the hereafter cannot supersede by multiples. By multiples. It's not even a challenge. It's not even a competition. It's not even a competition. This is the blessing that Allah has given us. He's given us true wealth. And He selected us in this crazy circumstance where there's just bankruptcy everywhere. Just imagine, the whole world is bankrupt and a handful of people actually have that kind of wealth. That's exactly where we're just in a bankrupt time. The vast majority of people are just, you know, focusing on the life of this world. Focusing on the materials of this world. Focusing on the glitter and glamour of this world. And finding that when they get to the point that they thought there was a rainbow, they never find a pot of gold. People told them, if you go here and do this and do that, eventually you'll be happy. And then they get there and there's no pot of gold. Then they see there's another rainbow. They go and chase it. If I do this and do this and buy this and buy that, then I'll be happy. Then they get there, there's no pot of gold. Then they go, they see again, there's another rainbow. And if I do that and I have this and I say this and I do that, then I'll be happy. And there's no pot of gold. There is no gold. There's nothing there because that's just what it is. It's just a deception. Life is a deception. The world is a deception. It's made that way. So what greater gift can there be that some sense be placed in the mind of a believer to show, to tell them, before you even worry about chasing that pot of gold, just recognize that it doesn't exist to begin with. And that actually it was this way. It's actually real, but it's this way. You have to go in a different direction and do different things and have different focus, and that's how you'll actually achieve what the goal of every human being is, which is happiness, which is comfort, which is peace and lasting benefit. So we have been given the greatest gift on the planet. Allah has given us deen, and Allah has given us the conduits by which we can earn His pleasure. And we should be appreciative of that. We should be thankful of that. We should acknowledge that. We should extol that. We should guide others to that. We should exemplify that. Anytime I can, you know, if somebody gives you a gift and you really care about them, you actually wear it. You know, I mean, I don't know if you have somebody in your life that's close to you and you want to also appreciate them and they give you, I don't know, a sweater or a jacket, you'll wear that jacket and you'll be like, I got it from this guy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us deen. He's given us the sunnah of Rasulullah. It's not a joke to have preservation of the acts of a prophet for 1400 years. It's not a joke. No community has that. Which community has that? That they are able to preserve from over a thousand years ago exactly what their prophet did? Which community has that? They don't. They have a few relics, this remnants of this and that. We have such a vibrant collection and clear indication of what Rasulullah ﷺ used to do, what the sunnah was. We have a complete preservation of the miracle of our deen. Which community on the planet has a preservation of the miracle of their deen? Yeah, the prophets came before, but their miracles were with them. Our miracle, the miracle of our deen is with us. We have been given what the prophets were given in that respect. Shouldn't we wear it on our shoulders? Shouldn't we wear it on our arms? Shouldn't we pick it up and recite it on occasion? This is the beauty of our... These are the gifts that we've been given. And these are just like scratching the surface from Tawheed to Quran to Sunnah to Salah to Psalm to Wudu to Ghusl. And the list goes on. Every one of these gifts has been preserved for us. Every one of these gifts has been preserved for us. It's not like we wonder how I wish I knew what Salah was. I hear about Salah, I wish I knew. No, it's been completely preserved. Every angle of this deen has been completely preserved. So we should wear it. We should, I mean, it's like, you know, somebody, you see these, you know, competitors in sports and they earn a badge and they wear it here and another badge and they wear it here and then they earn patches and they wear them all over their shirts and they show that I was in this and this and this and this pro game and this Super Bowl, whatever it was. They have all these patches. We have all these patches. We should wear them with pride on our shoulder. We should be able to say, look, this is my salah. This is what I do. This is how I pray. And I'm proud and happy. And it's a gift that I've been given. And I want to be able to maintain it. And I want to be able to advance it. And I want to be consistent in it. And the funny thing is the mere doing of that attracts Allah's tawajjuh. Just the mere appreciation. Ya Allah, thank you for giving me this salah. I'm praying not based on my hope and my ability to pray to you. I'm praying based on my hope of your reward for me by just making an effort, by just scratching the surface. It's so simple. It's such a huge gift. So we should be thankful for it. We should not hide from it. We should be appreciative of it. We should always look forward to it. We should be grateful for it. We should recognize what we've been given in the context of where we exist. I mean, yeah, if we were born 700 years ago in the Ottoman Empire, yeah, it'd be okay, fine. Everybody's been given deen. The whole place is just worshiping. I mean, that's a whole different story. It's a whole different story from where we exist right now. We just heard, you know, there was this prophet. We just heard that there was this book, you know, and Allah has given us the tawfiq to be able to make an effort towards that. So we should be continuously grateful to Him. We should thank Him. We should make every effort we can to preserve this gift, and we should wear it on our shoulders. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our eyes to the reality of this world and the reality of the hereafter. And we ask that He make us among those who are able to continuously and constantly reflect on the many gifts that He's bestowed upon us. Wa akhira ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.